Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now, if you have a Bible, we're going to turn to John's Gospel and chapter 6. And we're going to read together just a few verses, starting from verse 47. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the speaker on this occasion. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Now we know that God will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. In recent weeks, we've been bombarded with party political adverts and leaflets coming through the door to do with the elections in the area. For whatever your political persuasion might be, whether it's the Labour Party, Conservatives, Reform, Lib Dems, Greens, etc., 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 as we got these leaflets through the door, they each in turn had a message for the constituents of the area. They were wanting you, of course, to put a tick in the ballot box for their party. And as you read through these leaflets, at times they were rather muddled up, to say, for want of a better expression. One minute they were promising this and then taking it away with that. And the message that they were trying to relay to you is somewhat confusing. Now, when we come to the Bible and the Word of God, when our Lord Jesus speaks, he speaks in such a way that it's easy to understand. When we come to verse 47, and we're going to spend the next 20 minutes or so on this verse alone, verse 47, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks, and this is what he says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Now, there's no grey area there. It's not difficult to understand. You don't need a degree in English to understand that. You don't need to be a reader or a writer of the classics to understand the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. "I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Now, our Lord is speaking here about that which is eternal. The context of the verses that we've read, he's speaking about himself being the bread of life. He speaks about bread that came down, that fed their fathers in the wilderness, and they are now dead. And so he's speaking about a contrast between the perishable and the eternal. And now we're dealing with the eternal. "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And so he's speaking about the salvation that he offers each and every one. And I want to break down verse 47 in a fourfold way so that we're easy to understand from the youngest to the oldest. I want to think of it like this. "He that believeth on me." It's a personal salvation. Notice what our Saviour says. It's a message to you. "He that believeth on me." And so we're going to think this afternoon about a personal salvation. And then he writes this. "He that believeth on me hath." And we're going to think about a present salvation. And then he writes, "hath everlasting." And we're going to think about a permanent salvation. And then he writes this, "everlasting life." And we're going to think about a perfect salvation. Simple. You might say that is very basic. Well, that's the message of the gospel. We don't want to complicate it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's another easy to understand verse from the Bible. And so we're going to look at a personal salvation, a present salvation, a permanent salvation, and a perfect salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks, I say unto you, this is a message for you. Now, the message that came out from the party, the parties that came round our doors and was on the internet, on the television, etc., you know, longing for your ear, longing for the tick in the box, was to the masses. But this is a message for you. For you. And the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in you. We heard this morning from our brother Andrew that we were created. God made man in our image. God made man rather in his image. We were made to worship God. We were put upon earth. We were created beings to worship him. And God is interested in men and women today, boys and girls. And when he writes he, that's not at the exclusion of the females. But when in the Bible you read of he, it's to do with mankind. Men, women, boys and girls, God is interested in you. In a world today where love is seen in different aspects, and in a world where perhaps you feel unloved, I want to tell you that God loves you. The God that created the heavens and the earth, and he made the stars also. Again, we read that this morning from Genesis 1. He's interested in you. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as he writes here in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 47, we read these words, truly, truly, I, that is Christ, saying to you, the individual, he that believeth on me. Now, notice the language. He that believeth on who? Christ. Me. Not me. Not the people sitting round about you. We are sinners who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. But if I were in the hall today a sinner, then the message would be for me, just as it is for you. It's a personal message from God to you, the individual. In Acts chapter 16, we read there concerning a jailer at Philippi, a large city. And I'm going to paint the picture for you, for you might not know the story. But Paul and Silas were two gospel evangelists, and they were in the city. And what were they doing? They were preaching the gospel that we're preaching today. And you know what? The people of that city in Philippi, over 2,000 years ago, they didn't want the gospel. Sounds familiar. You look at the empty seats in the hall tonight, this afternoon, and they're not filled. Why are they empty? They're empty because people in Dunfermline don't want the gospel. They don't want to hear about God's good news. They don't want to hear about God and how he sent his son at Bethlehem to the manger, to the cross, to die on the cross that we might have salvation. They don't want that message. And they didn't want the message in the days of Paul and Silas. And so they took Paul and Silas and they thrust them into the inner prison. And their feet were fast in stocks. And they beat them. Their backs were lacerated. And it's an amazing thing that happened at Philippi. You would think that Paul and Silas would be complaining about their treatment. But scripture says that they were praying and singing praises unto God. And in the midst of their trial, and in the midst of their brutality, and in the midst of their torture, they were praising God. Why were they praising God? They were praising God because the gospel had gone forth. The good news had gone forth to the people of Philippi. And there was a jailer in charge of the prisoners. And the word of God says at midnight, there was a great earthquake. I've never been in an earthquake before, and I don't want to be in an earthquake. But they tell me in an earthquake, and we've seen the images of it, that everything shakes, the foundations, especially if buildings shake, and in some cases come crashing down, and there is usually, during an earthquake, a loss of life. And at Philippi, the prison foundations were shaken. Not one prisoner fled. That's remarkable in itself. And the jailer, fearing for his life, for Roman law at that time was such that if one prisoner had fled, the jailer, his life would have been forfeited. His life would have been over. And supposing that the prisoners had fled, Paul said to the man, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." And he called for a light, and he came in, and he was trembling. No wonder he was trembling. In the midst of an earthquake, anybody would be trembling, but he was trembling on a twofold in this, that had a prisoner escaped, his life was over. But trembling in the light of the fact that there was eternity staring him in the face, death was all around. And he said to Paul and Silas, listen to these words, "What must I?" See it? I? It's a personal salvation. What must I do to be saved? Well, they didn't say to the jailer, "Well, look, you know, get your Bible out and read it from Genesis to Revelation. That's good. That's to be commended." They didn't say, "Get yourself off to the local priest and confess." They didn't say, "Attend church every Sunday." These are all good things. But what did they say to the jailer? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." The simplicity of the message of the gospel to that individual. And he took the message that they gave to him there and then, and he applied it to himself, and he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior in the ruins at Philippi. And if we read down the chapter, we come to understand that not only was he saved, but his household was saved. And so the message of the gospel today is a personal salvation. He that believeth on me. Salvation is found. Listen, I want to make this absolutely abundantly clear. Don't misunderstand me. Salvation is found not in a creed, not in a culture, not in a religion, not in good works, but salvation is found in Christ and Christ alone. There was a man up the coast in St. Monans, just up the coast of Fife, a man whom I knew well, and he wrote a gospel leaflet. And in that gospel leaflet was the message of salvation. But he entitled it this: "You miss Christ and you miss everything." You miss Christ and you miss everything. He that believeth on me. Let me throw out the challenge. Do you believe on him? Well, you say, "I believe that he left heaven and he came to a manger at Bethlehem." We read that in the Christmas story. And so I believe it. But do you believe that he died at Calvary for your sins? Somebody once wrote these words: "Christ died." That's history. "Christ died for me." That's salvation. And so it's a personal salvation. But then notice what it said concerning our Saviour: "He that believeth on me hath a present salvation." This very moment, you can have salvation where you're sitting in your very chair. You don't have to wait for it. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God hath raised Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so you're saying to me at this very moment, I can have salvation at this very moment. There was a woman in the Bible who had an issue of blood, a blood disorder that no man could tame. She had tried many doctors and every doctor failed her. She came to Christ, and it says this: she touched the hem of his garment. And the moment she touched the hem of his garment, she was made whole instantly. She didn't have to wait. You know, when I go to the doctor with an illness and I'm looking for medication, he'll prescribe tablets and he'll give you the form and you go through to the chemist and you get it. And it might say on it, "Take until complete," and it might be a 1-week course, a 2-week course, a 5-week course, a 7-week course. And in that period of time, slowly and gradually, you might get better. When it comes to dealing with your sin and salvation, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If I accept that I'm a sinner before God, if I take Jesus at his word, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, I have instant salvation. This very moment, I could have come into this hall this afternoon as a sinner, and I can leave as one who is saved. I might have come into the hall this afternoon, and I'm heading to a lost eternity and a place that the Bible says is hell and the lake of fire, which is the second death. I could come in like that, but could go out that same door, saved, and on the way to heaven. Remarkable that I can get saved here and now. For Jesus has said, he that believeth on me hath a present salvation. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to wait any length of time. You can have it now if just you accept that you're a sinner and accept that Christ died for you. He that believeth on me a personal salvation hath a present salvation, everlasting, a permanent salvation. It's not just for the few years that on earth you're left to spend. But here's a salvation that goes on right through into eternity. It's everlasting. The Bible says, once in Christ forever. Jesus says concerning his Father, no man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. Once I'm saved forever, and I cannot lose it. I might lose the joy of my salvation, but I'll never lose my salvation, for it's everlasting. Upon earth, we forge relationships. In marriage, till death us do part. And every relationship that we enjoy on earth is severed by death. But a relationship between myself and God is everlasting. Paul speaks about those who have passed over into death in 1 Thessalonians 4. And he speaks about them as being dead in Christ. Now, let me explain. In Christ just simply means that you've placed your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ upon the cross at Calvary. And that you've passed from death to life by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour. Your sins many have been forgiven, and you're now in a relationship with divine persons. You are in Christ. And Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica and says, the dead ones who were in Christ, where have they gone? They've gone to be with God. For they have an everlasting life. And it's a permanent position. Everlasting. And then we come, finally, as time is almost gone, to think about everlasting life. It's a perfect life. Do you know anything about this perfect life? You know, as we look around us today, for many, life seems just to be empty and shallow. And we read of so many, especially young ones these days, just seem to, there is no meaning to life. Life is shallow. Life is empty. James, in his epistle, he asks a question, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little and then vanisheth away. Does your life have meaning? Or is it shallow and empty? Do you get up every morning and wonder what it's all about? Why I'm here? Where I'm going? What becomes of me after death? These are all relevant questions that we might ask. The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about the bread that came down that fed the fathers in the wilderness, and they're dead. for it was a bread that was perishable. He's saying to you today, eat of me. I am the bread of life. Eternal life is in me. Perfect life is in me. And you can have a reason today for living. To please God. To walk with his Son daily. To know a relationship with divine persons. More than that, to know that your name is in the book of life. And to know that you, at the end of life's journey, are going to be with Christ, with the Saviour. And so our Lord Jesus Christ said of him, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Do you believe? Do you believe that Christ died for your sins? Do you believe that in dying for your sins, if I believe, like the jailer, I can have today, this very moment, everlasting life? You know, God gave to man a free will. Your choice. You either accept or reject. When you're given a gift, you haven't worked for it. You perhaps in some ways maybe didn't deserve it. But nevertheless, someone gives you a gift. And what do you do with a gift? You do one of two things with a gift. You either accept it or you reject it. God is giving to you today a gift in Christ Jesus, and that's salvation. You either accept it or you reject it. And that choice is yours. What must I do to be saved? Was the question that left the lips of the jailer. And he believed. And he was saved. And what he enjoyed then can be your portion today. And like us, you're sitting in the midst of a company of people from all different walks of life. What has happened to us? Just simply this, that like the jailer, we've come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. We have that perfect life. Not saying it's a life of roses. And all will be well. Well, all will be well with your soul, that's true. You'll still pass through the problems and difficulties that we all pass through. It's all part of nature. It's all part of being a human being. But what sets the life different is this. It's a perfect life, for it's a life that's in Christ. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.